Welcome everyone to the 42nd installment of Sefer Da'as Tfila. We are in the third chapter of Da'as Tfila. We've been learning together for almost a year now. I think we started a little bit after last Pesach, and I don't think we would believe that we'd still be learning by Zoom at this point. But if the pandemic continues, then we have to continue to push and have to continue how to learn through even this difficult time. We are trying to understand the role of the Avos according to Rav Rakovsky. What exactly is the role of the Avos? What does it mean to be an Av? And he explained over the last 2 weeks something very interesting, that the role of the Avos was actually to bring God back to the world, to bring God back to the world, not to bring God to the world, which is very important to remember when we're talking about the Avos. That the Avos were far from the first monotheists, right? Adam Arishon was a monotheist. Noach was a monotheist. Shem was a monotheist. There were many individuals in the text who clearly knew about God. The role of the Avos wasn't to bring God to the world in the first place, but was to bring him back after a period when things were very, very dark. And Rav Rakovsky explained, with the help of Rav Huttner, that this is really a mashal for the entire creation of the world in a very, very, very deep way. That we believe in a concept called Tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was so apparent in the entire universe before anything was created, there was nothing, Ein Od Milvado. And he had to, so to speak, pull himself back in order to allow for himself to be revealed. He had to pull himself back. He had to allow space for us, like a parent who hovers over their child, like a helicopter parent. In order for that child to ever to be able to do anything, the parent has to disappear a little bit. The parent has to pull away, has to pull back. God's initial act in creation was to actually to pull back, to create a vacuum, so to speak, to create a darkness. And that darkness was created in order that a world could be created that would actually be, in some ways, more light than that which was there before. We went from a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was so apparent that even had there been other human beings here, they would have no free choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hide himself to create a world where human beings would do what he said, not because they had to, but because they chose to be able to use their free will to choose the right path, to get to exactly the same place where the entire world is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the entire world is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but instead of doing so because of his overwhelming presence, to do so because human beings recognized him with their own free will. The entire history of creation is that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, being here in his fullest sense, pulling back, and then allowing humanity to be able to try themselves to get up to that point. And if that's so, we pointed out last week, then the whole story of what happens in Eden is not nearly as strange as one would think it would be. The fact that what's the point of creating an entire Eden just so that a few hours later humankind could fail? What's the point of having it there in the first place? But Eden is, in that sense, a parable for creation, a perfect place, a place where God could be felt, the Ruach Elokim was merachefet, where you could HaKadosh Baruch Hu was apparent everywhere. You could bump into HaKadosh Baruch Hu on almost any corner. From there, we descended to a much darker place, a place where it was not nearly as apparent what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection was to the world, only to get to a place where once again we rise up and through our own free will, we choose the right choice. This was the role of the Avos. The role of the Avos is not to bring God into the world, but to bring him back into the world. Ha'avchut, he says, Ha'avchut shel ha'avot on your screen. The What does it mean? What does it mean to be a parent? What does it mean that an av is an av? What were they doing? What were they providing for us? They weren't providing life. Yes, we believe we're direct descendants from Avraham, but we're also direct descendants from a lot of other people. So what does it mean that these three people are avos? Ha'avhut shela avos hakadoshim biyachas letoldotehem. What is it that they have gifted us, that they have allowed for us, to their descendants, Am Yisrael, mityacheset le'inyan zeh shel chayot merkava l'shechina. It has to do with the fact that they helped bring God back into the world. And we saw that beautiful image last week, that a merkava is something you do to restore the glory of a king that's left his place. If a king wants to have seemingly maximal glory, he could just remain in his castle. But he leaves his castle, he takes a step down. But the splendor of his chariot allows him to regain that splendor as they go out into the world. That's what the avos were supposed to do. And says the famous Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Shemos, Hishlim ha-kasuv Sefer Breishis. With the conclusion of Sefer Breishis, with the conclusion of Vayechi, we finish Sefer Breishis. Shehu Sefer Hayetzira, Bechidush Ha'olam, Veyetziras Kol Notzar. Everything now has been created. Everything's there. Uvemikrei Ha'avos Kulam, Shehem Ke'inyin Yetzir Lazarim. And this is what we'll see after Pesach, how the Avos, in a certain way, establish, set up everything for us in the future that we would need. V'achar shehishlam ha'yetzira hiskel sefer acher v'inyan ha'maisa haba min ha'ramazim hazeh. After the Avos, we get a new book. That's the break. By the time Breishis is over, all the materials are there. All the fuel is needed for the rest of Jewish history. But we need a new book. V'nisyached sefer ve'elishmos v'inyan ha'golos harishon ha'nigzar. And then what happens? You're noticing a pattern. And then we have a golus. Why does it have to be that at the end of Sefer Breishis, when the family is finally together and we finally become the 70 people we're supposed to be, like the 70 nations, why do we have to go into golus? Because that's the story. The story is getting to a certain place, descending, and figuring out how to get back to where we were. Ve'enenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el mekomam ve'el me'alat avotam yeshuvu. The story of Sefer Shemos is not going to end until they get back to where they once were at the time of the Avos. U'kishibo el har Sinai ve'asu mishkan ve'shav HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'hishra shkinasu b'nehem az shavu al malas avosam. You might wonder what we've been doing in shul for the last 5 weeks. For the last 4 weeks. Why is this all in the book of Shmos? I would imagine that the right place for the construction of the Mishkan would be with Vayikra, where we talk about the Karbanos. And I'd ask further, if in fact we're going to talk about the Mishkan in Sefer Shmos, so maybe at least the first two Parshios, Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tzav, which deal with most of the Karbanos, maybe that should be at the end of the book of Shmos. You'll tell me if that's so, then the volumes of the Chumash will look funny. This one will be too small, that one will be too big. I find it very difficult to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split up the five books of the Torah based on how the volumes would look someday on your shelf. So why do we cut off at the end of the book of Shmos? Why do we cut off, right? So the Ramban explains, because that's when, at the way end of Sefer Shemos, what is the last thing we saw this past Shabbos? The Shechina descends back into the world. The Shechina descends back into the world. The purpose of the Mishkan was not to have a place that we would one day be able to bring Karbanos. The purpose of the Mishkan was to create a place that we could continue an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kind of relationship that the Avos had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Ramban who explains that the purpose of the Mishkan was not to deal with a mistake that they made at the Chet HaEgel. But does anyone know what the Ramban says? Why do we have a Mishkan? Because it's supposed to be a traveling Har Sinai experience. The Jewish people descended in Egypt, and every last vestige, the Rambam writes, that every last vestige of the Avos was knocked out of them. It's a very interesting comment the Rambam has in the Laws of Avodah Zarah. Every last vestige of the Avos, as he's going through the history of people straying from God, they were completely knocked out of them. And then they came up to Har Sinai. And when the Jews came to Har Sinai after the 49 days, they actually were able to leapfrog somehow back to the place of the Avos, to be able to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the cloud that once descended upon the tent of Avram and Sarah was now descending upon Har Sinai. But the Ramban says that the goal was not that this be a one-time experience, but that they be able to take this with them. There are many, many things, if you read Rabbi Josh Berman's book called The Temple from Aaronson Press, there are many, many similarities between the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and Sinai. And the Ramban talks about this as well. Why was it that on the inside of the Mishkan, there were these golden figurines? First of all, that's a very strange thing. There were these golden keruvim on the inside of the Mishkan. The Ramban says that that's there to remind you of the fire on top of Har Sinai. And of course, whenever the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would create a cloud. He would create a fog. Cloud didn't descend into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He had to take incense and create it himself. But that's the smoke of Matan Torah, says the Ramban. And of course, what was the key of Matan Torah? What's at the center of the Mishkan, all the way in? The Luchos. So the Ramban explains that the Mishkan effectively was a traveling Har Sinai experience. Har Sinai represented the Jewish people getting back to the place of the Avos, getting back to that point, getting back to that intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Sefer Shemos can't end until the Mishkan has been built and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence descends back into that Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was on Sinai. And then regardless of the Chet HaEgel, even if they hadn't sinned the Chet HaEgel, there needed to be a period where they could build a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to descend into again. And once already the Mishkan is built and HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends into it, that's the very concluding words of Sefer Shmos, says the Ramban, we got back to where we were hoping to get. Perhaps, had the Jews not sinned the Chet HaMeraglim, that condition would have lasted forever. Mashiach would have come. But this process of moving down just to come back up, you'll find this again and again and again in the themes of the Torah. And the job of the Avos is to affect that return of the Shechina. Shayasod Allah Alei Ohaleim V'heim Heim HaMerkava V'az Nechshavu Geulim. And then the people were considered to be redeemed. Okay, the redemption did not occur when they left Egypt. The redemption did not occur when they got to Sinai. The redemption was when they were able to take the Sinai experience and bring it into their own camp and have it stay with them and have it something that could move along with Bnei Yisrael. And that was the job of the Avos. Okay, we've taken a very, very long detour. Before we conclude tonight, we're going to go back and figure out what this has to do with tefillah. He quotes once again the Maharal, V'chol echad tikein kefi midaso. Tikein tefila kefi midaso. We said that the three avos created the three tefilos, right? What is that all about? Pashut hu, he writes. Shekashem sheha avos kimu eskola Torah kula kach kol echad meyem ispalo gimel tefilos bayom. He says it doesn't make sense. We started off by asking this some time ago. We started off by asking. 1 second, I'm going to lose power. I'm going to move over there. No, Kim. We started off by asking. How could it be that Yitzchak is the first one to daven mincha? Right? If Avram Avinu, according to our rabbis, made an Erev Tavshilin, it never occurred to him to daven mincha? It never occurred to Yitzchak to daven Ma'ariv? What does that strange Gemara mean when it says that they created the three tefillos? He says it's pashat that all of them daven three times a day. Ukufishim avur b'Gemara Yuma, as it says in the Gemara Yuma, ubetosos yishanim there and the tosos there. Seluse da Avram mishachri kosli. That Avram used to pray when the walls were getting dark, when the shade was setting in. The Gemara tells us that Avram Avinu was davening in the afternoon. V'im toma Avraham Rina and Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha. Tosfos asks there, don't we know that Yitzchak established mincha, not Avraham? What in the world is he doing davening mincha? So you could have argued that was after Yitzchak told him, right? Parents can do tshuva after their kids take on chumras, so maybe he took it on, but that's not what they say. V'yeshtomer demikol makom haya omra Avraham mitchila ela shelo asa klal l'chol b'nei beiso ad shetikne Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu did everything, but he didn't make it a klal. What does that mean? He didn't give mincha its character. Avraham daven shachris, Avraham daven in the afternoon, Avraham daven in the evening, but he wasn't able to create the character of what the second tefillah was supposed to be. Each one of these tefillos is an opportunity to interface with God in a different way. Avraham interfaced with God like Avraham. He interfaced with him in the morning like Avraham, in the afternoon like Avraham, and in the evening like Avraham. But we need to do more. And that's why these three are avos. Avraham asa klal rak letfilas shachris. Avraham only taught us how to teach, how to daven in the morning. The afal pishu mispalo ga mincha v'arvis, even though he prayed in the afternoon and the evening. Mikan makishimanu legabe takanos hatfila shel Yitzchak v'Yaakov. He says you can extrapolate from this what it meant that Yitzchak and Yaakov created tefilos. Kol echad asa'a klal lahatfila hamiyuchedes lamidasa. Each one showed us a path. Avram showed us how to daven shachris. Yitzchak showed us how to daven mincha. Yaakov showed us how to daven ma'ariv. Avram shayah mirkava lamidas achesed. Avraham, who was the one who brought down the midah of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Avram yodaleila kudshibrichu migoas baklarya di'i midas hagadula. Yeah, Zohar stuff. Okay. Nunu. Avram Avinu related to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chelko hi midazu. Chesed chulko d'Avram. Chesed was the way of Avraham. Tikun tefilas shachris. Yitzchak shahaya merkava l'midas hadin. Yitzchak Yada, he related to the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that created Mincha. Yaakov related to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the two together. Remember, we learned what Emes is. We learned what Tiferes is. Starting in darkness and ending in light. That was what it was that Yaakov taught us. Tikein, Tfilas Arvis. Inyan hishtaychus midos ha'avos l'tikun tefiloseim hu nidan aprakam abayim. Believe it or not, this is only scratching the surface of understanding who the avos were, how they related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how it is that each tefillah was supposed to channel what it is that they're doing. And he writes, in order to go forward, you got to go backwards, and we'll do that before the next one. But before we conclude, before Pesach, I just want to review a little bit and to try to see what we can, just on one foot, get from these different understandings of Shachris and Mincha and Ma'ariv. And that is as follows. We have to push ourselves to try to daven the three tefillos differently. We have to push ourselves to try to daven the three tefillos differently. If we are zochet to daven three times a day, tefillah can often feel like it is repetitive. We're saying exactly the same words. But we've learned for many months now the difference between shachris, which is in the character of Avraham, relating to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father, relating to the light coming into the world, all the shevach and all the praise. When we daven shachris, the Shmona Esrei should be relating to God as a father, relating to God as someone who is showering us with chesed, the stance that we stand in, the words that we use, the number of things that we request. We should feel like we're standing in front of someone who wants to do chesed with us, and we simply need to tell him what we need. When we daven mincha, it's a very different tefillah. When we daven mincha, we should imagine that we're standing in front of a king. That we're only really begging for what we could possibly get. It's a time of din. It's a time of looking at our sins. It's a time of looking at our zechuyos also, but our sins. And we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we know it's a difficult time. We're not going to stand here for a long time, but we also know that you're behind all of that and you can do anything that you want. And we beg of him, but not as we would stand in front of a parent, but as we stand and beg in front of a king. And then at night, we have to look up. We have to relate to the Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to try to make that connection. We have to remember that he's there, even though it's dark outside. We have to remember that even though it's dark, it'll be light again in the morning. This is especially powerful for those who are davening Mincha Ma'ariv together in shul. There's nothing which is less flavorful or less meaningful than bang, bang, knocking off two tefillos in just a couple of minutes. There's a minyan outside my house now. It's outside and it's still very, very cold. And they daven in about, I'd say, 20 minutes flat, Mincha Ma'ariv. You go literally from Mincha right into Aleinu, no Kaddish, v'hurachum. How do you make that meaningful? By making Mincha and Ma'ariv a very, very different experience. Very, very. They may be exactly the same words in the Siddur, but if we take Mincha as one approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ma'ariv as another approach, if every time we stop and think, what time of the day is it? Which Av am I trying to channel? Am I trying to remember who Avram was, what Yitzchak taught us, what Yaakov showed us? Then each tefillah can be an individual experience. Okay, we'll wrap up now for Pesach. I wish everybody a Chag Kasher v'Sameach. Thank you for giving me the chance to chazer this beautiful Sefer and to try to understand it better. And Mirtz Hashem, we will see you. I don't remember when Yom HaShoah, Yom HaTzmaut, etc. are. Assuming they don't get in the way, we'll all meet again on Tuesday night after Pesach. Chag Kasher v'Sameach, everyone.
Chag Kasher v'Sameach.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Chag Kasher v'Sameach.